You know, sometimes the story of a house trumps everything. You want to be relevant. You want to have what you do as an architect, you know, relate to masses and masses of people. But sometimes what you do as an architect really only relates to the people you're working for each individual project. And truth be told, that's true with most coastal projects because the level of state, federal regulation, even local regulation of these properties is so extreme that it's hard to take common lessons out into the public, other than the most sort of generic lessons about how to build in a dangerous climate and in a highly regulated environment. And because the costs involved in building on the shore are so extreme, both in the properties that you buy to renovate or build on, or because, let's face it, there's just no more coastline being made, so that the builders look at that and they say, well, obviously I'm dealing with people that have money, and it jacks up the costs of everything. Well, you layer on that the cost of the fact that now, last, say, 6-7 years, new federal coastal regulations have mandated extreme wind loads be calculated into the engineering of all these structures. And that in what are called V zones, velocity zones, there are enormous forces of tidal action. That whenever you go to do anything in these coastal zones, you're dealing with an extreme layer of idiosyncrasy and cost. But you know what? Sometimes, despite this rarefied air of extremely limited numbers of people that can actually deal with those circumstances or have the wherewithal to deal with those circumstances, the truth is sometimes a story is just too good to pass up. And that's the case with a place called Rockbound in a town called Sachem's Head, Connecticut, one of the nicest places in America, which is located in Guilford, Connecticut. It's a sort of little sub-town, a rocky coastal head of a neck that goes out into the sound just to the east of, you know, the famous Thimble Islands, but basically with that same Stony Creek granite basis for everything. Well, here we had a pair of clients, young clients, the male of which had literally spent all of his summers growing up in a place called Rockbound. And it was called Rockbound because it was the first shack, reputedly, first shack built in Sachem's Head directly on the water, like a fisherman's shack. And it's called Rockbound because it's literally bound by the rocks. Now, it started out as a little tiny shack, and then a wing came off, and a floor got added, and a bay got projected, and a roof got changed, and a this, and a that. And it got close. It really got over 4,000 square feet in size. Well, my clients, you know, the second generation owners of this property, realized that although this house had actually survived the 38 hurricane, and although it had huge, and this is not a lie, huge chains actually bolted to its underside, iron chains, bolted and bolting these chains down into these big rocks, and had rods taken through these little shacks that had been added on together, that literally, when they slept in this place at night, and the wind was over 20 miles an hour, they felt they were in a boat in the ocean. They felt like, even though they had come home from their kayaking and all the rest, they were kind of rocking to the wind because the house, shall we say, was highly flexible. Well, they realized early on that we couldn't keep any aspect of this house. This is truly an ethical teardown. That's an oxymoron to many people, that you shouldn't tear down what you can salvage. And I am a swamp Yankee, and I do like to salvage things. But in this particular case, it would cost so many more man hours and so much more material to keep any aspect of this house than rather than starting from scratch, given the fact we had to adhere to all of these federal regulations, that it would make it impractical. Now here, Bruce, we're standing in the entry, right? And the entry of this house is, as I like to do, really safe harbor, away from the wind, out of the weather, completely covered. But let me show you why they call Rockbound Rockbound and why it is so, so unique. As we're walking around this area here, you'll see the windswept tree, and we're coming around, and the microclimate changes instantly, and we're directly on the water. And truth be told, no matter, come with me, go over here, Bruce. not only are we on the water, this house is literally built over the water.
Come wow.
With me. Look at this. We're coming down these beautiful granite rocks here. And let's talk about what it is to build on the coast anywhere. Now, there are a lot of people who live on the coast. They don't all have to live on places like Rockbound. But what they do have to think about is what do you do in a house when it's on the water? Well, whether you build new or whether you build old, a house in the water has to be made of materials that will resist the incredible wear and tear of the extreme temperature changes, the never-ending onslaught of salt water, not fresh water, but salt water, and also just the fact that there's never a constant period in the house's relationship to the landscape. The weather here changes several times a day and is extreme. South light, brutal, coming off of Long Island Sound. Fogs come in, incredibly wet conditions. Temperature changes that happen on a dime because you're so exposed. So what did this house do? What could your house do? Your house could use natural wood shingles for its siding that are heavily overlapped and resist decay. Your house could use natural stone, which again is a monomaterial, meaning that the surface of it is the same as the inside of it. So no matter what happens to it, nothing wears off. That's actually the same with the wood shingles. It's wood. So it's wood at its surface and it's wood at its core. And you can use heavy overhangs to shade, to keep that sun from destroying the exterior of your house and to keep water from hitting those windows repeatedly and doors so they don't rot. Those are the three basic elements. But if you live in a coastal condition, it doesn't have to be right on the water, or in this case, over the water, like Rock Pond, which, by the way, when they first built it, they thought it was so crazy. They were building over the Sound. They called it Seward's Folly back in the 19th century. They said it was crazy to do this. But it lasted. It lasted a long time. Now the new one will last even longer. But what you have to think about, number one, is where do I want to spend money? And believe me, this project really spent the money in the right places with a steel frame and with all that foundation I talked about so that it's absolutely stable on the inside no matter what the winds are. Where do I spend money so that I won't have to have a sleepless night about where the next leak is going to be, where the rot is progressing? And also you have to think about, if I want to do anything to my house, I've got to go immediately to the town that I'm in and say, what regulations am I going against? Because this house, because it's built over the water, had to go to the Army Corps of Engineers for approval. Now, your house probably doesn't have to do that, but it will be subjected to any number of regulations, coastal area management review, zoning board review, and a lot of times in these coastal areas, the septic drives everything. If you're not on sewers, now a lot of the western part of Connecticut is on sewers and it's on the water, but a lot of the eastern part of Connecticut are on old-fashioned, in-the-ground septic systems. If you want to do anything to your home, you've got to figure out, where's my poop going? Because the truth is, here in this particular site, we had to reuse the existing septic system, and that determined the entire footprint and determined the location of the house, and it really drove everything about it. So the romance of the water is undeniable. The beauty of it, the changing of it. But the risk-reward scenario is extreme. There's huge costs involved in construction, and there's also ongoing costs of maintenance. But there really is no other environment that I can think of that is more evocative and more part of your life than this ever-changing, rugged, wild, beautiful environment of living by the sea, especially in coastal Connecticut.
Duo Dickinson is an architect, author, and the contributing writer in home design for Money Magazine.